Today's show is provided for entertainment and general information purposes. Opinions expressed are those of the presenter only. We make no promises or guarantees of investment performance. Online Trading Academy is not a broker-dealer, certified financial planner, or registered investment advisor. Online Trading Academy is the world's most trusted name in professional trader education. Enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Ken, and welcome to Next Week in Stocks, the most important 60 minutes in your trading week. Next Week in Stocks is brought to you by Online Trading Academy Phoenix, the world's most trusted name in professional trader education since 1997. Well, we are at a very interesting point in the market, potentially a very interesting point in world history. There are things that can take this market higher right now, maybe even significantly higher. There are things that can bring it lower. And part of this, folks, is to understand that what really drives the market is buying and selling and the psychology behind it. It has nothing to do with the fundamentals, the earnings, the rest of it. You can tell a story that can justify any price for any stock, for any market. We right now have a market that by historical standards is very overvalued, especially if you use any kind of reasonable accounting. But again, it could go significantly higher than here. It could also crash like something that crashes. I got nothing off the top of my head, but it's in a very, very vulnerable position to the downside. And so what we're going to talk about on the show today is what are the kind of positives that could take this higher? What are the negatives that could bring this thing down? What's going to really affect the psychology, not just in this country, but around the world? And then we're going to talk about kind of what do you do about that? And one of the keys to a market like this is really understanding how options work, because you can use them to protect positions, you can use them to make money and limit your risk on the downside, make money and limit your risk on the upside. One of the problems with a market like this for someone who's trying to trade something like stocks is that you won't necessarily be able to react fast enough. I mean, the thing to think about with the stock market is the market's only open 6.5 hours a day. It's closed 17 and a half hours a day. It's closed all weekend. Now, is there anything that can happen at night in the United States over a weekend that could affect the value of your portfolio? And the short answer is like, yeah, a whole bunch of stuff. One of the beauties of options is that when you buy them, you can't lose more than what you pay for them. So even if you're totally wrong, you've got some built-in risk management. And what we've talked about on this show so many times is the key to success in this business, and you must think about this like a business, is the ability to not lose a lot of money when you're wrong, because there's sometimes you're going to be wrong. So again, on this show, we're going to be talking about what can drive this market in both directions. I'm also going to get into some more detail in a class, especially from the options perspective. And the class is going to be making money regardless of market direction. Here's the thing. This market's at an all-time high. There are a million headwinds that you can argue have to take this market down. And one day, those arguments will be correct. But I don't know if that day is tomorrow or that day is a year from now, okay? But the market is incredibly vulnerable. The other side, though, is if you bet on the market to go down today, you may well be wrong for the next year. So how do you balance that? How do you position yourself to make money, whether it goes up, whether it goes down, whether it goes sideways? And again, one of the cool things about options is you can actually put on trades that make money if the market doesn't move, that make money if the market goes up or if it goes down. There's a number of things you can do with options you can't do with anything else. So again, in this class, I'll be talking about those ideas, as well as just kind of overall what's happening in the market and what you can do to protect yourself right now. Again, name of the class is Making Money Regardless of Direction. If you want to come out to the class, you can get free tickets by being one of the next dozen callers at 8448TRADER. That's TRADER. That's 844-887-2337. Again, you'll win 2 free tickets. You can bring a guest with you if you're one of the next dozen callers at 8448TRADER. That's 844-887-2337. All right. Let's take a look at what's going on in the market and what are some of the things that could take this market higher. Well, one of the things that you're seeing is that there's a belief that there's going to be these big infrastructure projects, and that tends to be good for the market. A lot of borrowed money comes in. It's got to go to somebody. So some of it's going to some big public companies, and that is going to create potential for greater earnings for these companies, and it's all going to be wonderful, all right? I do believe there's going to be a big stimulus, but understand when you do the big stimulus, you're going to spend money inefficiently. By definition, the government does not spend money efficiently. If these projects were economically viable on their own, you wouldn't have to use taxpayer money to fund them. We can argue that if you want when we come to the class, but that's just kind of the history of the world. There will be waste, fraud, and abuse involved. The money that you're spending on the infrastructure product will not be available to spend somewhere else. But the reality at this point is you're not really taking money from the present to fund these projects. You're taking money from the future. And the future is already so screwed because we've taken all of their money that at this point, it probably really doesn't make a whole lot of difference. But that's what's really sad about it. You know, again, not to get too into this, and I know this is hard to kind of imagine on the radio, but if you think about the economy of the United States, now, first of all, I'll argue that the way we measure the size of the economy is not particularly accurate and not particularly useful, because really what it is, it's just a proxy for spending. Whether that spending is efficiently done or inefficiently done, and in fact, if you do it inefficiently and you spend more money, it actually shows that you grow your economy more than if you spend your money efficiently, which to me is fairly nonsensical. You know, and I've used this example on the radio before, but it's a really important way to think about it. In Boston, they had a project called the Big Dig. What it was putting a hole in the ground so you could get to the airport faster. Okay, that's what it really was. Initially, they estimated that this project, I think, was going to cost $2 billion. By the time they got done with it, it cost $15 billion. Now, that means that the economy, because all that money got into the economy and got spent, that the economy grew $13 billion more than if you had just spent the $2 billion. But the real value that was created was you now get to the airport faster. Okay, it's the hole in the ground that's the value. But what we're trying to measure is the spending and therefore what it's doing for growth. But understand, as soon as that spending stops, it's gone. So now all of a sudden you lose what kind of was that fantasy growth. But it also means that $13 billion can't be spent on another hole on the ground or a pipeline or something else that may produce actually more economic value. Now, take that aside for right now. Let's just assume that GDP is a great measure of the economy, which again, in my opinion, it is not. What you find out is that right now the economy is about $17 trillion a year. The amount of debt that we have as a country, now this is personal debt, business debt, government debt, is about $63 trillion. We have spent years of future incomes on projects that, quite frankly, have not solved our underlying problems. We are not creating jobs. We are not growing this economy. People are not getting raises. Yes, housing prices are up and stock prices are up, but that's because money is artificially cheap. And I'm going to get into this later, but that was one of the biggest risks to this market that we need to look at. Interest rates have been going up, not because the Fed is raising them, because the market is raising them. And that is going to have tremendous implications for the federal deficit, for the housing market, and for the stock market. I'm also going to be quoting extensively today from an article that was in today's paper. This is the 30th of November when I'm recording this, in the Wall Street Journal, talking about the Phoenix housing market and how the fact that it's just roaring along means that all is well in the country. And that is not true. And we're going to explain what the weaknesses of this argument are. But again, if you want to come to the class, making money regardless of market direction, whether it goes up, down, or sideways, you can make money. Be one of the next dozen callers at 8448-TRADER. That's 844-887-2337. When we get back, we'll talk about what could take the market up or down. Hi, this is Ken, and welcome back to Next Week in Stocks, the most important 60 minutes in your trading week. Next Week in Stocks is brought to you by Online Trading Academy Phoenix, the world's most trusted name in professional trader education since 1997. What we're talking about in the first segment is the fact that this market is sitting right now at an all-time high as I'm recording this on Wednesday evening, the 30th of November. The market could go higher from here. It could go way lower from here. And either of them are reasonably probable. There's no way of knowing which way this market's really going to break. I think that, you know, it may stall a little bit here. But if people really believe, and one of the drivers of this is people really believing that Trump will be successful in cutting taxes and cutting corporate taxes, that will improve earnings, which theoretically should drive stock prices up. Now, I say theoretically because stock prices are already so high that it's going to take a whole lot of earnings to get us back to kind of where we should be. I mean, the market right now in the S&P 500 is around 2,200. The fair value of the market based on the actual earnings should be closer to 1,300 to 1,400. So we're about, you know, a third to maybe 40% overvalued right now. And just a small tax cut or whatever happens isn't going to make that much difference, especially because there's going to be other things that happen. The first is the dollar's getting stronger, which is going to hurt earnings of companies that export. Secondly, large public companies don't pay a lot of tax now because they can manipulate the tax code. It could be helpful to small and mid-sized businesses. It could be helpful to job growth. I'm not sure it's going to actually materially add to the earnings of the companies. Put it all aside. The market's going to do what the market's going to do. And there's an argument that says the market is going to go up, again, because we're going to do this big infrastructure program. It's going to create jobs. It's going to put money out into the economy that currently is sitting on the sidelines. And those things are all true, but they're also all temporary. You can't do it forever, although Japan has certainly given that a go. For the last 4 years now, they just are doing quantitative easing, they're doing spending, they're just doing a ton of things to try to prop things up. And initially when they did this, their stock market doubled in a period of less than a year, which was great, but their currency got killed. So people's buying power really went down. And one of the things we're going to have to watch in this country is, I think you're going to see a lot of spending, which could be good for the market. I think you're going to actually see the dollar continue to go up in value, because even though the Fed hasn't been raising interest rates are going up. And this is going to be a real double-edged sword. Okay, stay with me on this, folks, if you can. What's going to happen is the Federal Reserve in the last 7 years has raised interest rates a total of 0.25%, okay? Because they only control certain interest rates. The market, since Donald Trump was elected, has raised interest rates on U.S. Treasuries, this is the 10-year and the 30-year, by over 0.5%. The Fed cannot control those market rates unless it does another round of quantitative easing, which I think it will probably do, but only after interest rates go up a lot. And that going up is going to have a number of very negative effects. First, it's going to blow up the housing market. Already you're starting to see people say, man, mortgage rates are just going up so fast, I'm going to sit on the sidelines. Mortgage rates are still less than 4%, okay? There have been times in this country where mortgage rates were 18 and 20%, okay? This is nothing if rates keep going up. So that could really blow up the housing market. And just a note, you know, we talk a lot about on the show about, you know, achieving financial freedom and investing in the markets, and we never really talk much about real estate. And it's because to be frank, I don't think real estate's a great investment, okay? Because it is an investment. Historically, housing prices don't go up. Land prices tend to go up with inflation. If you have scarce land, it tends to go up with inflation. But unless you have a big bubble, there's not a lot of appreciation in real estate. Between 1896 and 1996, that's a 100-year period, total increase after inflation of real estate in this country was 6%. That's not 6% a year. That's 6% total. Now, between 1996 and 2006, it went up 150%. Okay, now that was the bubble. The market has come back down. The housing market is now going back up. And again, in the next segment, I think I'll get to the story in the Wall Street Journal about what the increase in Phoenix housing prices mean. And to be fair, I think they've come up with, well, fair is probably not the right word. They've come up with totally the wrong conclusion from my perspective. But we'll explain what it really means and why it's actually incredibly dangerous. But here's my other problem with real estate. What's the risk management strategy? Interest rates have gone up 0.5% in the last couple of weeks. What happens if that continues? How do you get out of those properties? To me, if you're in the stock market or the options market or currencies or futures, you can get out at a moment's notice, but you have to know when to do that. And again, as we talked about, options to me are critical for this climate. They allow you to make money when the market goes up, it goes down. Quite frankly, you can make money when it doesn't go anywhere. And you can do all of this with predetermined risk. Instead of buying a share of Apple for $100, you can buy the right to buy Apple for $100, and maybe that costs you $5 or $7, okay? You can't lose more than the $5 or $7. If you buy the Apple stock, you can lose the whole $100. So you have this built-in risk management. So in the class, I'm going to be talking about options. I'll be talking about other instruments as well. But it is critically important in a market like this that you know how to make money if it goes up or it goes down. And you have protection in place against quick swings in either direction, because you could have a lot of volatility come into this market with this new president. So again, if you want to come out to the class title is Making Money Regardless of Market Direction. I'll be teaching it personally. You can get free tickets if you're one of the next dozen callers. The number to call is 8448-TRADER. That's T-R-A-D-E-R. That's 844-887-2337. Again, you'll get a pair of tickets to Making Money Regardless of Market Direction. We'll talk about options. We'll talk about what's happening in the market today. We'll talk about what the warning signs are, the things that could take this market up, the things that I think could take this market down pretty hard. Make sure you're prepared in advance. You want to come to the class? Free tickets, next dozen callers, 8448-TRADER. That's 844-887-2337. When we come back, we'll start talking about this article about the Phoenix housing market, what the Wall Street Journal thinks it means, and, well, what I think it means. Hi, this is Ken, and welcome back to Next Week in Stocks, the most important 60 minutes in your trading week. Next Week in Stocks is brought to you by Online Trading Academy Phoenix, the world's most trusted name in professional trader education since 1997. Before I get into the Phoenix article, you know, I talked about there's things that could take this market higher. A big part of it is, you know, the belief that there's going to be significant tax cuts, that there's going to be a lot of stimulus spending, and that way may well take the market higher. What could take it lower? The rising interest rates. Again, not the Fed raising rates, although they may raise it 0.25% in December, but it will then be the perception that they're going to raise, or the perception that the increased deficits that are likely to come in the next year, because they're doing the stimulus spending and they're doing the tax cuts, even though I am massively in favor of tax cuts, there's a risk to real inflation out there that's going to prompt people to ask for higher rates of return if they're buying bonds. That is, they're loaning money in what they think may be a higher inflation environment. If interest rates go up, the housing market in this country is going to get crushed. The stock market will likely get crushed. One of the things that's driving the stock market right now is the fact that money is cheap. And bonds don't return anything right now. So there's what's known as the TINA theory of investing. There is no alternative. Why are people buying stocks at these ridiculous prices? Because there's no alternative. They don't know what else to do with their money. And one of the things I'm going to cover in the class is other and, quite frankly, better things for you to do with your money. The second thing is that if you can borrow money, say, at 1 or 2%, and you can earn 3 or 4%, well, that's a pretty good deal. If you've got to borrow money at 6 or 7%, you've really got to be able to make, you know, maybe 10, 12, 15% simply because there's a risk that you won't make anything. So what's called the hurdle rate gets much higher. Well, the only way you can get a better rate of return on a stock is to buy it for a lower price. So as interest rates go up, housing gets hurt, stock market gets hurt, and the federal budget totally blows up. Because right now we only bring in about $3 trillion a year in tax revenue. A trillion of that is payroll tax, which means that income and corporate taxes are about $2 trillion, all right? If where we are right now in terms of interest rates, the federal government spends about $250 billion a year on interest. If we go back to the normal rates of the last 50 years, you will not spend $250 billion a year. You will spend $1 trillion or more a year, which is 50% of all the revenues that are coming in except for the payroll tax, which is supposed to be going to that sacrosanct Medicare and Social Security. That's a whole nother story. The fundamental issue is this. The biggest risk to this market right now, in my opinion, is interest rates going up, not because the Fed is doing a lot of raising. Again, they may raise in December. I don't see them raising after that, unless they're really over to screw Trump over, which is possible. But because the market is demanding a higher rate of interest, and that could take this market down fast. The other thing it does is it really hurts emerging markets, what we used to call the third world. There's a number of countries out there that don't use U.S. dollars as their currency, but they've borrowed a lot of U.S. dollars, and they've got to pay that money back in U.S. dollars. As U.S. interest rates go up, the value of the dollar tends to go up because people buy our bonds, more cash comes in, our dollar gets more valuable versus other people. That's going to make it harder and harder for these countries and companies to get and afford to buy U.S. dollars, to be able to pay back their debts that must be paid back in U.S. dollars. This is a little arcane, but for those of you who remember what happened in the Southeast Asian currency crisis, same deal, okay? Now, if oil prices keep marching up, then perhaps some of these countries will get bailed out, but I'm not certain they're really going to keep getting, the market's going to keep going up in the crude oil area, simply because you still have demand declining around the world. If the dollar is truly getting stronger, as I think it will be, oil is denominated in dollars, I'm not sure these countries are going to get bailed out that way. So what does all this mean? It means that there's some things that can take this market higher. There's a lot of things that can take it lower. Be alert to what happens on Sunday. That's the 4th of December in Italy. They're doing a vote on making a change to the Constitution. It is largely anticipated that the vote's going to fail. If that vote fails, that could have real implications for the entire European Union because the government may fall. Originally, the prime minister said, hey, if this fails, I'm out of here. Now he's hedging a little bit, but it may be the end of that government. And if so, you may well get a government in Italy that wants to get out of the EU. And that could be a whole nother set of crises for the European Union, for their currency. It could take the dollar up even further. It can make our companies less competitive that export overseas. Those are all things that can happen, but we don't know what the market's going to do and react. So what we have to do is be prepared for every eventuality. Otherwise, we're just gambling. And this is, you know, I don't mean to be harsh about this, but if you've got money in mutual funds, 401ks, whatever it may be, and you're sitting there in the stock market, you're making a bet that none of the bad stuff's ever going to happen. Because with all due respect, you have no plan for what to do if it all goes bad because there isn't any plan. You can't risk manage effectively mutual funds, okay? And in the class, I'll get into all the different reasons why, but you just can't really do it. So what's your strategy? Well, the average person's strategy is, man, I sure hope the market goes up. Well, that's great when the market's going up like it did for the last 7 years. But the market's now at an all-time high. And at some point, gravity will take over. So what are you going to do? In the class, we're going to talk about all these macro factors. We'll talk about options, which allow you to make money on the upside, the downside, or even if it goes nowhere, and by managing your risk the entire way. If you buy an option instead of buying the underlying issue or shorting the underlying issue, you have risk management already built in. So we're going to talk about all those ideas. If you want to get free tickets, be one of the next dozen callers at 8448 Trader. That's TRADER. That's 844-887-2337. You'll get a free pair of tickets so you can bring a guest with you. Strongly recommend bringing a spouse, significant other, plus one, whatever we call them these days, children, grandchildren, whatever it may be. Again, free tickets for the next dozen callers. This is the class on making money regardless of market direction. Be the next one of the next 12 callers at 8448-TRADER. That's 844-887-2337. Okay, so we have all of this stuff going on out there. Now I want to talk a little bit about why you can't trust the press. And I know that a lot of you know that you can't trust the press, but you also know on this show, I don't spend a lot of time on the political side of things. I will talk about the futility of a lot of it, but I try very hard not to take partisan sides because the problems we face can be marginally improved, but it's going to be very difficult to sustain those solutions over the long term just because of the political realities. One political reality is we have spent many generations of money, and you can't really do anything about that until you have some real pain in the market. Now, that pain can also be money in your pocket if you understand how to make money to the downside. But again, unfortunately, most people don't. But before I get into kind of the Wall Street Journal article, there's something I'm going to read to you, and some of you are going to find this absolutely hilarious, and most of you are going to have no idea what this refers to. But something really struck me that I read as I was preparing for the show. And yes, I do prepare for the show, okay? The Huffington Post is obviously a fairly left-wing website, big supporters of President Obama, and they had an article in there today that says, "This is the kind of president Donald Trump is replacing." And of course, the purpose of the article was to show how thoughtful, you know, Mr. Obama was against basically, you know, the buffoon, as they see it, of Donald Trump. And so again, this is in the Huffington Post. And they were talking about all the great things he did. And then they're talking about, well, yeah, not everything's perfect. And actually, I think they've left some things off this list, but I will read it as written. It says, "How well Obama's foreign policy deliberations translate into effective policy will be debated for years. Large swaths of the Middle East, after all, are on fire, while the European Union groans under the weight of the resulting refugee crisis. But at least it's an ethos." Okay, that's the quote. Now, stay with me on this, folks. The only other place in my life I have ever heard the line, "at least it's an ethos," is in The Big Lebowski, where they're defending people being Nazis, okay, over people who are nihilists, because nihilists don't believe in anything. And basically the John Goodman character says, "I mean, say what you want about the tenets of National Socialism, dude. At least it's an ethos." So again, the Huffington Post is defending Barack Obama's Middle Eastern policy with the same argument that Walter Sobchak in John Goodman in The Big Lebowski did to basically defend Nazis over nihilists. And there's no way that the person who wrote this had not heard this in The Big Lebowski, because otherwise nobody else thinks of it that way. That said, that's kind of just a kind of a ridiculous point. But now let's get to something that's more serious. One of the things that you have to realize is that just like the press is manipulated by politicians, it is also manipulated by the business community and as trying to get their stock prices higher, trying to get you to take the other side of a trade. Some of you may remember a couple of years ago when oil prices were falling very quickly, I said that oil prices probably wouldn't come back for a year to a year and a half, and they didn't. And so, and there were a lot of reasons why, because of production, this, that, and the other. Then Goldman Sachs last February, actually it was February 9th, said oil could drop below $20 a barrel as the search for a level that brings supply and demand back into balance makes prices even more volatile. Goldman Sachs Group Incorporated predicted again on the 9th of February, 2016. The minute I saw that, and I think I said it on the radio show, is this is probably the bottom in oil. Oil at that point was at $36 and change. 2 days later, it hit the low for that whole cycle of $35.23. Understand, when these people come on TV, they're not thinking about how to make you more money. It's how they make more money. Free tickets to the class, 8448-TRADER. See you on the other side. Hi, this is Ken, and welcome back to Next Week in Stocks, the most important 60 minutes in your trading week. Next Week in Stocks is brought to you by Online Trading Academy Phoenix, the world's most trusted name in professional trader education since 1997. Briefly, because I ran out of time in the last segment, what I was talking about was Goldman Sachs had been saying oil was going to go to $200 a barrel, which obviously never happened. Last February, they said oil, when oil was at about $36 a barrel, they said oil could be going down below $20. Understand, when they say those things, they're trying to get you to do the wrong thing. They're trying to get you to panic and sell the oil to them at the lowest possible price because they think oil prices are going up. The people that come on TV that are telling you what their expert opinion is, people laugh at them and say, well, they're wrong a lot. They're not wrong. They just have different self-interest than you do. The day that Goldman Sachs said that it was going potentially below 20, 2 days later was the low price in oil, okay? So always don't think about what these people are saying. Watch what price action does. That's how you know what they're actually doing. It's not what they're telling you. And there's just, again, we all, I think, know that the media, you know, does things to help certain politicians. They also do it to help businesses. And this is something else I'm going to get into in the class. If you're just joining us, I'm going to be teaching a class on making money, whether the market goes up or down. And we're also going to talk about what to do when the market doesn't go much of anywhere. Now, I don't think there's going to be a not going much of anywhere in the near future. I think this market's going to have big moves up and big moves down. I just don't know when. And so what we need to do is be actually positioned for both of those. And we're going to show how you do that. We'll talk a fair amount about options. We'll talk about what's happening in the macro environment, what have you. If you want to get free tickets, be one of the next dozen callers at 8448-TRADER. That's 844-887-2337. Again, free tickets to making money regardless of market direction. Next dozen callers at 8448-TRADER. You'll get two tickets so you can bring a guest. That's 844-887-2337. Now, I want to go back to this article in the Wall Street Journal talking about what the rise in Phoenix housing prices means. And it starts off with Phoenix's battle-scarred housing market is expected to be the strongest in the country in 2017. First of all, sheer speculations. Nobody knows. Another sign that the U.S. housing market is returning to full strength. No, it's not. What's happening in Phoenix has absolutely nothing to do with what's happening in the Rust Belt or basically anywhere else. It goes on to say, the rapid rise of a market that housing analysts once thought might not recover for decades demonstrates the strength of the national recovery as home prices this week hit a new record. It has nothing to do with the strength of the national recovery. Housing prices are going up because interest rates have been very low and people are taking more risk because once again we're being ruled by the greater fool theory. Greater fool theory says it doesn't matter how much you pay for that house. As long as you can find one person dumber than you, pay more than you did, you can make money. The difficulty is even in these great states of the United States, eventually we run out of fools and bubbles collapse. The housing market is not supported by fundamentals. There is not good job growth. And I mean that in terms of numbers as well as quality of jobs. Earnings are not going up. Where is all of this money coming from? It's money that's going in speculatively, again, because interest rates are low. Interest rates are starting to rise, not because the Fed is raising them, but because the market is raising them. That will pose tremendous difficulties for real estate investors. To me, this is the kind of article that just smacks of being close to a market top. And I'm speaking of a housing market top more than a stock market top, although obviously that is also being driven by low interest rates. Goes on, Jonathan Smoke, chief economist at Realtor.com, also said that Phoenix's rebound, much like the national recovery overall, is based on solid fundamentals, and there are a few reasons to fear another bubble. Are you nuts? Okay. The Atlanta Fed just came out and said this quarter's GDP growth that they said last week would be 3.6%. They're now saying it's going to be 2.4%. There is no real growth in this economy. The illusion of growth we have is just funded by debt. Again, people, whoa, you have less than 5% unemployment because 100 million people aren't even trying to find jobs. That's the people that have dropped out of the labor force. If no one was looking for jobs because no one was working and they just gave up, the unemployment rate would be zero. That measure of unemployment is totally meaningless. And we've talked about that ad nauseum on this show before. Again, the reason housing market's going up is cheap money. End of story. Now, here's a couple of interesting things. Understand that something called Realtor.com wants people to be optimistic about the housing market because they're trying to sell houses. You say, yes, but Ken, Realtor.com, you know, they can't hoodwink the Wall Street Journal into supporting their propaganda line. I mean, the Wall Street Journal is an ethical entity, whatever, and I'm certain that it is. But one of the things to notice is at the very end of the article, there's a little thing that says News Corp, owner of the Wall Street Journal, also operates Realtor.com under license from the National Association of Realtors. So the press is again on, they have a vested interest, or the parent corporation does, in telling the Realtor.com story. Because again, when you just make a blanket statement, the first blanket statement that's wrong is because the Phoenix housing market is going up, that means that the entire U.S. housing market's doing well. Second, just fallacious statement is the reason housing prices are going up is because we're in such a strong recovery. Well, ask why Donald Trump got elected if we're in such a strong recovery. And again, we have done chapter and verse before about why there's not a strong recovery. The article then goes on to say, Phoenix home prices are expected to grow by nearly 6%, while sales could grow by more than 7%, Mr. Smoke said. Again, he works for Realtor.com. He wants you thinking the real estate market is doing really well, so you'll go out and buy a house, and that's how the real estate agents and Realtor.com are going to make money, as is the parent of the Wall Street Journal, News Corp, who owns Realtor.com. He says, the forces driving demand are a booming high-tech economy that is attracting younger residents as well as retirees. Well, again, retirees don't tend to go out and buy new houses, so that's kind of a red flag. The second thing is that a lot of young people may be coming, but those people are not getting high-wage jobs because we're not creating any high-wage jobs. What we have done is to reinflate a speculative bubble both in the housing market and the stock market. If interest rates continue to rise, and again, the Fed in 7 years, the Fed has raised their interest rates that they control by 0.25%. Market interest rates for U.S. Treasuries, supposedly the safest instruments in the world, since Donald Trump was elected president, they've gone up 0.5%, twice as much in the last couple of weeks than the Fed has raised in the last 7 years. If that continues, you're going to end up with a housing crash, a stock market crash, and a government that can't pay its bills without printing a whole lot more money. And ultimately, the Fed's going to have to step in with another round of quantitative easing. Before that happens, though, the market could skyrocket. The reality is no one knows, because no one knows what's really going to come next. No one ever really knows, but we can have probabilities. Right now, there's a probability this market could go up another couple hundred points on the S&P, or it could go down 600 points. What you need to be able to do is make money in both of those environments. Again, I'm going to be teaching a class, Making Money Regardless of Market Direction. If you want free tickets, be one of the next dozen callers at 8448-TRADER. That's 844-887-2337. 8448 Trader, and we'll see you next week.